Turn to God's Word now to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4. Some very familiar words to us. Mark chapter 4, reading from verse 26. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows, becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That is the word of the Lord. Do you ever feel like giving up on something? There are incidental things, and we discover that we probably don't have a talent in a particular direction, and giving up is actually a good idea. It's usually helpful if we can give up before somebody tells us to give up. There are also times when we realize that we have done everything we could in a particular situation, and we realize that it's time simply to step back from it or to move on to something else. And these things are fine, but they're not the kind of well-thought-out reason giving up I'm thinking about today. The world, as it always has been, has more than its fair share of people who are ready to give up. Not because of a lack of talent or whatever, but people who simply feel that they can't take the pressure any longer. They've reached the limits of their endurance. They've had enough of what they're doing. People who perhaps even believe that they're where God wants them to be, but maybe been hurt and see no end to the hurting. Also people in church who feel that they can be working for so little. Churches tend not to be great on encouragement. During this time of pandemic, we have the additional problem because so many people are simply tired. And surveys that have been done recently, that was something that came across from so many people active in churches, they were simply tired. It's been a long time since what we used to call normality. And when people are tired, then problems and discouragement are magnified. This, however, isn't new, because the early church, I don't suppose, was any different. We have people like Demas who did give up. "For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica," 2 Timothy 4. We also have allusions to others who may not have stayed the course. And I'm sure that there were many who were with Jesus and the church, but who felt like giving up. When you think of the kind of people around Jesus, they weren't chosen because of their determination or anything else. They weren't chosen for their tremendous qualities or attributes. There were children in the streets. There were sick people who were looking for a cure. There were poor people. So many of the people who were around Jesus were people who had great needs. When you think about it, even the disciples wouldn't really qualify for a mention in who's who. But these were the people who followed Jesus. Many of them ordinary people with problems. Many, I'm sure, who were affected by the afflictions which touch so many of us today. When the first enthusiasm for something has gone, when obstacles have to be overcome, there often creeps in the desire to simply give up. In these early days, Jesus was there with them in person. But we can sense in his teaching that he understood what many of the people must have felt as they faced the problems that came with simply following him. Problems concerning their change in their lifestyle. Problems emerging from the way that other people looked at them. must have been very easy for many of them to get discouraged. And it's still something which affects us. So what did Jesus do to encourage those who followed him? Well, he spoke not just about the present. He had a great deal to say about living each day. But he spoke not just about that, but he spoke often about the future. He spoke about the kingdom of God. Remember the words from our reading. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? What parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, the smallest seed you can plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants. Such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Useless information time. I was ordained 40 years ago last week in the Baptist Church in Erskine. And these verses were the text for one of the first sermons I preached as a real minister. I'm not sure what a real minister is, mind you. But I can assure you today it's not the same sermon. Must be getting old because I can remember the early sermons from many, many years ago. Sometimes can't remember what I preached on last week. Not quite true, I think. Even without going back to look at notes or anything, these verses stuck out in my mind. Jesus teaching on the extent of growth and the method of growth, linking it with the parable of the leaven and how we reach those next to us. So you get two sermons for the price of one this morning. Today, though, I want to look at these verses with the thought in mind of times when we get discouraged, or what we can say to others who may be tempted to give up. And I trust that we will be encouraged as we think about these verses. Firstly, in them, we see something of the dynamic power of life. Jesus likened his kingdom to a seed, and it doesn't take an expert to work out the latent power in a seed. As long as there is life, no matter how small, there is potential. There is the possibility for growth. There is the possibility for development. And anybody can understand that. It's that time of year for us when we've scattered seeds some weeks, perhaps some months ago, and now we're starting to reap the benefit. We have flowers, we have vegetables, all sorts of things from the tiniest of seeds that we put in the ground. When we look at a seed, we see something with the ability to become so much more than it is at present. And the seed which Jesus used, he used to great effect. The seed is likely to have been the Sinapis nigra, the black mustard seed, which is among the smallest of seeds that exist. You would have difficulty viewing it with the naked eye. But what potential that tiny seed had. It grows to be a huge tree-like plant, so big that the birds are able to come and build their nests in it. And Jesus is telling us that the kingdom is about life. It's about the realization of full potential. You have to apply that to ourselves. Take a moment and think of the things that you would like to see changed. Circumstances that we would dearly love to see altered. Situations which we feel are really unsatisfactory. Think of people you love and the changes that you would like to see in their lives. And sometimes we get discouraged because it seems so hopeless. But Jesus' words to us are that where there is life, there is not just hope, but there is potential. The dream of the kingdom is about life-changing power. And so we don't give up praying for people, for situations, and working towards being part of the answer if Jesus is moving in that direction. There is a dynamic power of life. Secondly, I believe that we shouldn't, from these verses, judge the future by the present. Perhaps as God's people, we look around us and what we see is not encouraging. I said what we see, not who we see. We see a world today ravaged by a pandemic. Is there an answer? Is life ever going to be the same again? We look at those who lead in our own country and in other countries, and we can very easily despair. It's not being party political because it crosses all political lines. We can often despair at what's happening and what people find to be acceptable. Look at the moral state of our nation. and we can easily despair. What kind of world are our children growing up in? What kind of teaching are they being given? Then these verses, Jesus is saying to his friends, day after day, night after night, week after week, month after month, the seed will grow. And in its time will produce a plant large enough for the birds to come and build their nests in it. That little black mustard seed doesn't give cause for optimism when we look at it, if we could even see it. But that same little seed has so much potential. And we mustn't fall into the trap of judging the future by what we can barely see at the present. Perhaps we are discouraged when we look around nearer home at present. Well, the church in this country is still very much alive and active, and in some cases growing, with new opportunities opening up. We have missed simply being together. And perhaps some folks have fallen by the wayside. Also, so many Christian gatherings and summer camps for children, everything else, that kind of thing, so many have been cancelled. And we are concerned. What we see today is a very mixed picture. And while there is so much for which we give thanks, there is much which causes us concern. We live in unusual times, but that has never created a problem for God in the past. He's not caught out by what we're experiencing today. He's not scratching his head wondering how he's going to get us out of this. Think right back to the basics of our faith. Think of Jesus' birth. Jesus, Savior, Master, King, crucified and risen. He began his life here on earth as a baby, wrapped in a few cloths, born in a stable. That's really not a very encouraging start for anyone. And who would have imagined what the future would bring in his own day, never mind 2,000 years on, as they looked on that tiny baby? Think of the church. Think of the persecution that the church has endured over the centuries. And yet it's here. It's thriving. Empires have fallen. Governments have collapsed. Rulers have been deposed. But the church is still here and still growing. We must be very careful not to judge the future for the church or ourselves by what we can see in the present. We think of individuals too. We know of alcoholics that have been rehabilitated. Many have been freed from drug abuse. Prodigal sons and daughters have been reunited with their families. Marriages have been rebuilt. Churches ready to close their doors have been blessed. Countries where the gospel was almost unknown have become areas for revival. And we can tell of so many miracles which have happened, where God has worked miracles with the seemingly insignificant, the broken, things on the verge of extinction. We must be very careful not to judge the future by what we can see at the present. We can't let our view of the future and the future that God has promised us be influenced by what we can see at the present. And thirdly, from this account, I believe we can draw the analogy to faith. It's faith which enables us to hang on when things don't seem to be going particularly well. In Hebrews, we read the well-known words, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, Hebrews 11. How can we be sure that what the gospel tells us is true? By faith. How can we be certain and act on it? By faith. What keeps us looking for something that we can't see and don't fully understand? We do that by faith. Our faith is a response to God's acts on our behalf. Jesus came to demonstrate many signs and wonders, and many responded to him. Faith is our response to the acts of God toward us. We can't say that this is beyond us. If we go back to the seed, when we plant the seeds, we plant in faith. It's not that we don't understand faith. We exercise faith in so many things. We plant the seeds, we plant in faith. How do we know that they're going to grow? Well, we can base it on a degree of reason. Other seeds have grown. They have grown in the past. There's something in the soil which makes them grow. Sunshine and rain, they play their part. But at the end of the day, it's still an act of faith, because each of these factors which cause the seed to grow are out with our control. We plant, and in faith, we wait for the harvest. And if we can do that with real seeds, how much more should we base the seeds of our lives and our future together on faith? We have evidence that God has worked in the past. We know that prayer and study and our willingness to work are factors in producing the harvest, but it is simply an act of faith. And when we're tempted to give up, we need to remember that everything is not in our control. Very little is in our control. We do all that we can in obedience to God, but then we simply trust him for the outcome. And so many times things have happened, amazing things have happened that we could never have imagined, but we trust God for the outcome. We play our part and move forward in faith. We were never meant to produce the harvest on our own. It's faith which causes us to keep believing, to keep going when we can't see the way ahead, when we don't know what's going to happen, when we're unsure of the future. Faith in God and a knowledge of his love for us and previous provision for us can keep us going, even in difficult times, and save us from giving up. There is something else that we really can't ignore, because then there is the darkness. There are the times when giving up would seem to be the only way. It's not just that nothing much is happening, but we can seemingly be engulfed in darkness. The times when we feel that God has perhaps forgotten about us, that we're not his priority at that time. The times when perhaps we feel that God really doesn't understand our situation. The time is slipping away. But we turn back to the seed again. When it's planted, we do the strangest thing. We put it in the ground. We bury it. It's out of view of the naked eye. It's in the dark. But we believe that something is happening. And we'd be very unwise to keep digging it up to see what's going on. We simply leave it there. Growth of any kind, change of any kind, takes time. And for so much of that time, the seed is hidden. It's in the dark, out of sight. But the changes we know are taking place, changes that we can't see. Perhaps Jesus told this story because the people who were there around him at the time were getting a bit impatient. We're not the first church to be looking for something to happen. The people were waiting for something to happen. They wanted something to happen. They wanted the kingdom to come. They had all sorts of ideas about how the kingdom would come. But Jesus didn't seem to be helping them very much with this. He wasn't taking over. He wasn't a political power. He wasn't a military power or anything else. He really didn't seem to be helping very much. Did he tell them this to encourage them to simply wait? The seed of the kingdom had been planted, and it was growing. It was developing. Was he telling them this to encourage them and remind them that God works just as well as in the dark as he does in the light? Because they don't understand doesn't mean that God isn't working. It is so easy for Christians to become discouraged when we look around at the church today, sometimes even when we think of our own lives and our usefulness to the Lord. There are often times when nothing appears to be happening. And yet, as I read this well-known account again, I believe it speaks to us in these times, for ourselves and for others. And the message is quite clear. It's simply that we don't give up. There are the times when we have no ability. There are the times when God is moving us to something else. But there are the other times when we simply want to get out and want to give up. And we need to hold on to the promises of God because God can be trusted. We have his word. We have the evidence of his hand at work in our lives from the past. And we simply study and pray and be faithful and wait for him to act, trusting our future and trusting the future of his church to him. We simply hold on to that in faith. Tiny mustard seed was planted. Probably couldn't even see it with the naked eye, but it contained life. And where there is that life, there is potential. What it was gave no hint of what it would be. And although it was hidden from view, the changes were already taking place, changes that would bring it to fruition and bring it to this large tree-like plant. As we think about our lives and the fellowships of which we are a part, as we are perhaps tempted to give up at times, when we go through times of discouragement and uncertainty and even darkness, let's remember these two verses and remain faithful in study and prayer and meeting together. Let's ask that God will increase our faith as we wait for his purpose to become apparent in our lives and in his church. Let's pray together. Mighty God, increase our faith, we pray. We have your promises. We have evidence from your word and in our own lives that you fulfill your promises. Grant us faith and patience, we pray. Keep us faithful in prayer and study as we wait for your purpose to become evident in our lives and in your church. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.